You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
I don't have a spleen.
And thanks to the Postal Service, my holiday shipping will be stress-free.
Make holiday shipping easy with free box delivery, free tracking, and free package pickup from the U.S. Postal Service. This is our season. Priority you. Free tracking and free box delivery available for select products. For details on free package pickup, visit usps.com/pickup.
Belgian authorities say they've made arrests in terror raids across the country. A Belgian prosecutor detailed the results of the raids for the reporters.
In total, 16 persons were arrested. The investigating judge will decide tomorrow about their possible further detention.
The identities of those arrested has not yet been released, but authorities say they did not find the suspected Paris attacker.
Salah Abdeslam is not among the persons arrested during the searches. Specific elements of the inquiry and necessitated the operation of Sunday night. The investigation continues.
The raids come as officials extend a level 4 terror alert for Brussels through Monday. The alert indicates that a serious and imminent threat of terrorism is possible. The metro system, universities, and schools in the Belgian capital will be closed on Monday.
Full circle of care.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Call Hunterdon Medical Center.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2020. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Donald Trump is being accused of racially charged retweeting. The Republican presidential frontrunner retweeted an image Sunday that compared black-on-black murders to police killings. The image included six lines, with two of them claiming that the number of blacks killed by police is 1%, while the number of blacks killed by blacks is 97%. The image also showed percentages of white people killed by police, other whites, and blacks. A protester heckles Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump at a campaign rally, but it's what happens next that made headlines. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
At a Donald Trump rally in Birmingham, Alabama, at least a half dozen white people in the audience seen on a video hitting a black man who is wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. They knock him to the ground, and you can hear Trump here during the melee screaming, "Get him out of here." Trump now defending his supporters, seen punching and kicking the man.
He was so obnoxious and so loud. He was screaming. And they did, I don't know, rough up? Maybe he should have been roughed up.
Trump speaking on Fox and Friends. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The Golden State Warriors have matched the record for the best start in NBA history. The Warriors improved to 15-0 with a 118-105 win over the Nuggets Sunday night. I'm Anthony Lucero for USA Radio News, powered by WesternJournalism.com.
Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. A little problem with the news coming on. The site's down, so rather than make up some news, we'll talk about something local happening. Local weather today. Chef Bill's back live. Let's see. Today's sunny, high near 41. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the 20s. Tuesday, cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny, high near 48. Let's see. Tuesday night, clear. Low again in the 20s. Wednesday, high in the 50s. Wednesday night, a little patchy fog. Thanksgiving, maybe a little fog in the morning. Otherwise, a nice day up near 60. And then no showers again until maybe Friday night and Saturday. So it looks pretty good. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Visit njweightlossgroup.com to schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so call 855-464-THIN. That's 855-464-THIN. Or visit njweightlossgroup.com. That's njweightlossgroup.com. They can't wait to see you look great.
Hey, Chef Bill back at the table here after a little hiatus. Back in time for Thanksgiving. Hopefully everybody's got their plan, even with the slight scare on the turkeys being short. I guess it mostly hurt the commercial end, the restaurants and institutions, delis, things like that. The big turkeys that are raised for the turkey breast, the sub shops, everybody was kind of having trouble. I know I was having trouble getting good-sized turkey breasts to roast off. And no big birds this year, I think, but the small ones for retail, a lot of those are already grown and processed and in the freezer, so I kind of missed that. I guess the same thing was happening with the pumpkin. There was a lot of fresh pumpkin, but not a lot of canned because of inclement weather during planting or something else. And even with the turkeys, if you waited till the end and get your, locally raised or organic, one of those, I mean, maybe a little bit more money, but those obviously are not affected by these widespread outbreaks. Each farmer is separate, so it's kind of contained. So if you're doing natural or organic and fresh with all your foods, this was a year that you won. You wait to the end and no issues. But there's plenty out there anyway. We do have a good food supply in this country, and there's plenty of cold storage on everything. So, and fresh, frozen, I mean, frozen turkeys are generally pretty good. I don't really have a big issue with them. The fresh ones would probably be a little bit more moisture. Obviously, when you freeze things and defrost, you get that little bit of slacking out, some of the liquid runs out. But some people do a brine to kind of overcome that. And there are also some turkey roasts out there that are highly processed. And you can see that on the label. It'll say up to 17% of a solution, and there's salts and everything. It's to kind of, it pumps up the weight, obviously, brings the price down, and some of that liquid will run out, but it supposedly leaves you with a nice tender roast. But again, it's all relative. You get what you pay for. I think if you roast carefully, biggest thing is don't overcook it. Cooking turkey, so everybody's got all the secrets, and we'll discuss a couple of ways today. There's many, many, many ways to do it, and everybody has their favorite, and, a lot of it depends on the size of the bird, what your family likes. It's your oven. Is it gas? Is it electric? Is it convection? Is it an old oven that's not calibrated well? So we'll go over a couple of things with the Thanksgiving feast today. I know I'm kind of last minute on it, but there's still plenty of time. Probably a lot of people will shop early this week. As far as food holidays, of course, November is apple month. Sure, we'll include apples in some form, whether it's a pie or maybe mixing with your cranberries for a nice cranberry apple relish or a chutney. Hard cider, too, a nice beverage to serve with your Thanksgiving meal. We always try to match wines, beers, things, and there's some good wine matches, too, out there. But cider seems to be on the uptick. But New York State, a bunch of new cider producers have sprung up. There's plenty of apples, and it's not really, it's like wine grapes. The grapes that we eat don't make the best wine, and grapes that are good for wine are not really good for table grapes. They're not as tasty as we'd like, because it has to go through this, the fermentation and all that, get the characters for the wine. And apples, too. You're not going to use a, I don't think you're going to use a Macintosh. I mean, you can press a Macintosh and make cider, but cider producers really want some other varieties. So, and that's nice that we're growing some more varieties besides Macintosh and Golden Delicious. Now, you more than ever, you see any good grocery store is going to have at least, six or eight varieties of apples. And they're all different textures. Some are good for baking. Some are good just for eating as they are. Others are good for pie. So nice apple month, good month. I mean, apples are generally available year-round. They store well. Another great thing about the fruit. And also, let's see. Oh, what's going on? Oh, well, today is Eat a Cranberry Day, so obviously this is good timing on that. And the 27th happens to be, well, this year it'll be, it's the fourth Friday of the month, which is coincidentally, after the fourth Thursday, which is Thanksgiving, is called Leftover Day. So we'll even address that, what to do with your Thanksgiving leftovers. I always like to plan plenty of leftovers, especially if it's, if you got a couple days off or you're going shopping the next day, you don't have time to really cook. You might grab a snack out at the mall, but you want something, some nice dinner when you get home. Third Thursday, right around that time, 18th, 19th, Beaujolais Nouveau. Nice fresh wine from France. It's kind of lost its luster over the years. It used to be a big celebration. I remember years ago at Jake's, we used to get one of the barrels that they'd fly over on the Concorde. The first release, you'd get it within a few hours because by law it couldn't be released before a certain date. Nice fresh wine, a little bit acidic. It doesn't sit, it's quick fermentation. Actually, it's just a different type. It's called carbonic maceration. That's why it has a little spritz to it. And what they do is, usually when you're fermenting, the carbon dioxide will dissipate with the wine. You don't have the only time you want to trap the CO2 is when you're making champagne. But all the first fermentation is always done open vat, and the carbon dioxide bubbles off. It's a very violent process, fermentation. Well, the Beaujolais Nouveau, the carbon dioxide is trapped, and what it does is it gets very brilliant color from the red grape skins very quickly. You don't have as much of the tannins. It's a quick fermentation and very intense, leaves more of the acid, less of the tannins, and a lot of the color, and then it's bottled and not really, no barrel aging to it. So it's Beaujolais light, I guess. Grand Cru, a good Beaujolais is a great wine, red wine to have for Thanksgiving dinner. That'll work. The Beaujolais or Pinot Noir, anything from the Burgundy region, will match up with the turkey beautifully. Quarter after, we got to break for a couple of messages here, but we'll start step by step. Just strategy for Thanksgiving. There's plenty of recipes, plenty of videos, but I'll give you my take on just, your countdown kind of, and take some of the worry and the mystique out of it. It's I know we only do it once a year, but it's our family. We don't want to mess it up, right? We'll be back in a couple of minutes after these messages. Ricky, don't lose that number. Ricky, don't lose that number. Ricky, don't lose.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
All right, Chef Bill's back here at the table. We're talking about strategy for Thanksgiving. Let's see. So we're assuming serving turkey. And it doesn't have to be. I think some people, even when that report first came out about turkeys being scarce, may have made other plans. And probably the first Thanksgiving, let's face it, was probably the venison and lobster, probably duck. And don't be afraid to do something else. I know most people like the traditional dish, but sometimes you may want poultry, and if there's a small household, only two people, whatever, it's kind of, I guess that's why restaurants exist, right, for takeout, but it might be duck, it might be, you know, a roast chicken, a Cornish hen. I think any kind of poultry, or even if you like a nice pork roast, but it's all about the vegetables, the sides, the stuffing, it's just the groaning board, as the term implies, that there's just lots of bounty. It was, after all, you know, coincided with the fall harvest, and you just pull out all the stops. It should be a fair amount of variety. I like a lot of side dishes, just a little taste. That's why buffets are always nice, too, if you have a well-prepared food on a buffet line. You get to take a little taste of each. But anyway, your turkey. So if you've bought frozen turkey, you're going to defrost it slowly. You don't want to leave it out at room temperature overnight. That's not the way to do it. If you need to do it quickly, should be under running cool water. The convection will drain away the frost, as it will, but it'll also keep at a safe temperature. I've done it also in a cooler, like a star. It's even worth buying a little styrofoam cooler for it. And if it is defrosted, you can always put the ice packs in there and keep it chilled. What this does, obviously, it's well insulated. Keeps your refrigerator free. That's probably the biggest problem people have with it, is just don't have room. The one time a year, you know, especially if you got like an 18 or 20 pound bird, and you've got everything else in there that you're trying to get a couple of pies made and cooled off, and you know you've got company coming, and that's, you know, the storage space is probably the biggest issue. That's why people end up doing everything just at the last minute, because you don't have space to store things. So we kind of stage it. So if you get that, get the bird out of the way in some kind of styrofoam or igloo, just for instance, as an example, something where you can keep it chilled, that's fine. I always allow a pound per person. We do that in the restaurants for portions, because you've got, you know, the bone weight is, you know, close to 50%. You've got a little bit cooking loss. You've got skin. You've got you know, tendon parts that aren't right. If you allow a pound per person, you'll have plenty. That's for one main course. If you're doing a mixed thing, as which some people like to do, you may want a pasta course. You may want some other family favorite or historical favorite of yours as a substantial other course, and the roast turkey just might be a couple of bites. But in any case, I like to allow a pound a person, and also you want some for leftovers, obviously. If you're doing all that work, you need something for the next day. So say if you've got eight people, you know, a 12-pound turkey is plenty because it'll give you enough for the eight people plus a couple of pounds left for sandwiches or a pasta dish or whatever, pilgrim's pie, whatever you're going to do the next day. And most people will probably do more than that. If you're playing it tight, if you don't want leftovers, then one option I've heard of people doing is especially with a frozen turkey, is have the butcher saw it in half, keep the other part wrapped tightly and frozen for another time, and just do half a turkey. Other options are just a plain turkey breast, bone in, if you like. Last week in the Times, Julia Child recipe where she boned out a turkey breast and then put a little stuffing in between to kind of hold it together and then wrapped it in cheesecloth. That looked very nice, easy to carve, quick to cook. I've done boneless turkeys before. They work all right. If you just like white meat, another option is to get like a French cut chicken breast. You can get a turkey breast the same way with just the one wing joint on it, so you have a nice handle to hold for carving. Those make a nice small roast for a small crowd, or if you happen not to like the leg meat or the dark meat. The other thing important, and you can get this done early on, is to make stock. And I like to use the neck and the gizzard, the heart. I don't use the liver. I usually grind that up in the stuffing or save it for a snack. Or we might mention a quick liver pate you could do for a first course. But I'll also cut the wing tip and the first joint off the wing, the double bone joint that, you know, people would probably wrestle with. It might be something that is a last resort somebody would eat. You need plenty of gravy, I guess is the bottom line. And even it wouldn't be bad if you want extra, you know, get a couple, you know, some chicken backs or a turkey leg. It's worth buying a couple of drumsticks and just make stock out of them. You can still use the meat afterwards. You could shred it up and do pulled turkey or chop it up into the gravy. I mean, there's no reason to throw it out. But if you like gravy, I say, you know, make sure you've got plenty of stock for gravy. And the other end, too, if you're going to make soup afterwards, that gives you a good start on it, right? If you're going to spatch the turkey, which I like to do, split it open, is that you can actually add the backbone also, which gives it great flavor. But just a little bit of onion, celery, and you could actually use trimmings on this, the celery leaves if you're not using them, a bay leaf. And cover all your bones and whatever with cold water, bring it to a simmer, and about 3 hours to extract the all flavor out of poultry. If it cooks down a little bit, just add more water. And again, you want sauce, gravy, you've got to figure, you know, at least 4 or 5 ounces per person, and some people want more. You know, I'd figure a cup of gravy per person, and then, of course, you want a little bit to handle your leftovers, so make plenty of gravy. And if in a pinch, of course, a lot of people use chicken broth, which is fine. You just have to watch the salt. If you're making your own stock, of course, you'll have to salt it a little bit more. But the stock could be made ahead, or it could be made while the turkey's cooking. 3 hours is plenty of time. And then we'll strain it when it's done, and then make our gravy once the bird is out of the oven. So that little liver that's left, if you want to do a little treat, you could make a liver mousse, and this calls for about a pound of liver, so you'll have to get add some chicken and or turkey livers to the little couple of ounces you get out of the bird, and you trim any sinews off of the livers. You'll need a cup of chicken stock or broth and a half cup of chopped onion. If you're using homemade stock, of course, add a little salt to it. Otherwise, it's salty enough. What we're going to do is poach the livers and the onions in this broth for about 12 minutes. Keep them nice and moist. And then you're going to strain this broth. You can set it aside for another use if you want to, but it'll have that little bit of bitter taste to it, so make sure you taste it. It might be useful in your gravy, or maybe moistening your stuffing. It would be good for that. So you have a pound of butter, unsalted butter, at room temperature. Cut them in cubes. Let them get nice and soft. And then you need maybe a little brandy or cognac. So you get the livers drained, and you'll put the liver and onion into a food processor and the soft butter, about a teaspoon and a half of salt and 3/4 teaspoon of black pepper, a dash of either brandy or cognac, maybe a tablespoon or less. Don't need much. Even Madeira or sherry would work. And you're going to blend this well till it's very, very smooth. You'll put it in a dish. Now what we'll do is we'll start refrigerating this. You don't want it to sit out too long. And about every 10 minutes, stir it around in the dish till it'll start to thicken up and feel a little bit heavy because, of course, the butter is starting to solidify. But you want to stir it because sometimes the butter may float to the top, some of the butter fat, as it's cooling. And you want that to be mixed into the liver mousse. This is why you keep stirring it. Once it gets to a certain cool temperature where it's a little difficult to stir, then the butter will stay dissolved in there. So that's when you pack it into a little tureen. And that makes a nice spread for some nice, some toast, something not too salty, but a nice liver mousse that you could serve as a first course in your Thanksgiving dinner. So now we're going to roast the bird. Now, I mentioned spatching before, or spatchcocking. If you look it up, I've been doing it for a few years this way, cooking the turkey. I always have to do a small one. My family is out at relatives. I'm working, so we need something for leftovers. Of course, when you go out for food or go to somebody's house, that you don't have the benefits. So I actually cook our leftovers. They have dinner early, and then I get home late, and we have round two. So I always had to, you know, cook the turkey fairly quickly. And then, of course, I like to break it down before I take it home. We don't need that whole presentation. If you need the whole presentation of bringing out the bird and carving it, that's fine. And what we like to do is truss the bird, or at least tie the two ends of the drumsticks together so they kind of half cover the tip of the breast there. That's the part that gets dried out. I still like to clip the wing joints. Again, I save that for stock. The turkey will still stay propped up. We also like to use a rack to roast it on so it doesn't really boil the bottom of the bird. Plus, you'll get better drippings. So for stuffing, now, stuffing that I make is inedible from the standpoint of it's not the bread stuffing inside the bird. That's what happens. Birds overcook. Stuffing tastes so good because it sucked all the juice out of the bird. I like to put things in the cavity that will add moisture back, so I usually use some diced onion and celery and an orange with the skin and everything. Just cut it into 8 pieces. Don't squeeze it. Just throw the orange in there. It's going to perfume that meat with that nice citrus, or you could use lemon or lime, whatever you like. I like orange. That mixture there is also going to flavor your pan juices. Now, in the pan, we like to put what we call mirepoix, the onion, carrot, and celery. And those could be, doesn't have to be cut perfectly, but small pieces that, as the turkey juices drip down, they're going to caramelize and help give color for your gravy. Sometimes the recipes will say, well, scrape up the brown bits in the pan. Well, sometimes there aren't any. But the vegetables will kind of caramelize, so that'll give you some, that caramel is what we want, that nice color to give us a rich brown gravy. So if you're roasting that way on the rack, the 325 temperature is fine. You need about 15 minutes per pound. And sometimes the turkeys will give you cooking guidelines on that. I like 325. I rub it with either soft butter or oil, your preference, and then just salt and pepper. If you want to add the, you know, the onion and garlic and other stuff like that, it's fine. But really, salt and peppers. I did a roasted a turkey breast last night, just salt and pepper and oil, and it was skin was delicious. Don't need to do too much. So at 325, 15 minutes a pound. If you need a little bit more brown, you can always turn the oven up at the end and brown it without cooking it too much more. If you get it too brown too early, you know, you're going to tent it with foil, do this, do that. I don't know. At 325, you should be fine. And you really, you want to make sure that the, you know, that when you temp it, you get an instant read thermometer, that the dark meat is cooked. That's the important part. And if it comes out a little undercooked, you'd heat it back up in the gravy. It's, if it's a little bit pink, all you're doing is washing out the myoglobin. It's not blood. It's just a, it's another pigment that's iron-based, so it's a little pink. And just finish cooking the meat. French used to do it at tableside all the time. They'd cook a duck, and they want the breast rare, and then they would finish cooking the legs afterwards to serve. We've got a break for news here at the half hour. We'll come back and continue on with the turkey.
USA Radio News, I'm Anthony Lucero. Belgian authorities say they've made arrests in terror raids across the country. Officials arrested 16 people in raids throughout Belgium, including the capital of Brussels. The raids come as officials extended a level 4 terror alert for Brussels through Monday. The alert indicates that serious and imminent threats of terrorism are possible. Hillary Clinton is proposing a tax break to help people caring for older relatives. The Democratic frontrunner for the party's presidential nod unveiled the plan during a town hall meeting Sunday evening in Clinton, Iowa. The plan would also allow people to offset up to $6,000 in elder care expenses. There's a new scare for Chipotle fans. An outbreak of E. coli linked to the restaurants in the Northwest has now spread to 6 states. The first cases of people being sickened by food in the Mexican chain were in Washington and Oregon. But now there are new cases in California, New York, Ohio, and Minnesota. This is USA Radio News.
Turn down that radio!
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. 3 environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-485-4408. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-485-4408. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-485-4408.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill, talking about the turkey. So for the simple roast, 325, as you said, about 15 minutes a pound. Give yourself plenty of time, too. The bird can rest up to almost up to an hour, even. And that's actually when you can tent it loosely with foil once it's out of the oven. And you'll transfer it to a another platter or a pan so you can work with your mirepoix for your gravy. Also, that's got what we call carryover cooking time. It may pick up another 5 degrees in the center. That's why, you know, you take the turkey out, you don't have to cook it to that 180, 185 degrees. It's way too much. The 165 is good. 170 if you want to be really sure. But that inside is going to keep cooking. That's what happens. You'll see the juice, some juices come and accumulate. So, you know, that's still something going on, you know, for the, at least another half hour. So you might pick up another 5 degrees internal temperature. So this is what we always allow for in the restaurants so we don't overcook things. If you take something out just when it's done, it's going to sit there and overcook. So as I say, then what you can do is if you need to finish off a meringue pie or, of course, you need to bake your stuffing. Another problem with the Thanksgiving turkey is, of course, it's a huge thing, and it takes up the whole oven. It's hard to do other things with it. You may be able to slide one casserole alongside it that has to bake for a while, but a lot of the baking of things will happen after the bird is out of the oven because it needs a higher temperature. You may need 400 degrees. You may need 375. And this is what I like to do sometimes, especially with the, it's got stuffing, you've got vegetables, is have things that you can finish off in the oven in less than an hour. You could have them all ready. Some can be staged, even done ahead, say a sweet potato casserole, or even the mashed potatoes, obviously, you're doing on the stovetop. But you may want roasted vegetables, something like that, that goes with the dish that could be done. You free up the stovetop a little bit. You've already got your stock pot on. You're doing your potatoes. This is what happens. We kind of run out of room. We're either one burner short or one oven short. So the advantage of spatching is that the turkey's flat on a sheet pan. It doesn't take as long, and you're roasting it at the higher temperature anyway. But you have that second shelf. You can put something else in the oven along with the turkey. Plus, you cut down on the cooking time a lot. I would say, for a 12-pound spatched bird, you would check it after an hour. Because we're going to start at 450 degrees, just like roasting a chicken. You may let it sit at 450 for about 20 minutes and then cut it down to 400. Now, if the skin gets a little too brown, you just cut the temperature down even more. Go back to the 350. It won't really brown it anymore. It'll just keep cooking it. But I'm telling you, it's just... I'll do an hour and a half for, like that over 12-pound bird. An hour and a half is plenty. And the skin is crispy. The meat's all done. It's laid out flat on the sheet pan so it all cooks evenly. And what we'll do is the skin between the point of the breast and the thigh, you cut a little slit in that and push the tip of the drumstick through that so it kind of sets over part of that tip of the breast, and that's going to keep it from overcooking. You do that to both legs, get them secured so they're resting over top. So that the whole chicken, you're cutting the backbone out, which will go in your stock pot, and you flatten it. You can push down a little bit to make it a little bit. It really, you look at the thickness of it. It's not going to take that long to cook. So I really like spatching it for something fast. And now the only difference is you're not getting that whole bird presentation. So what do you do? Well, what you can do is take the carve the drumstick off and take the thigh. Now you can slice the meat off the thigh if you like, or leave them whole. But you'll have the two breast pieces, and we'll cut those crosswise into fairly thick slices, and just reassemble them. You could actually reassemble the whole spatched turkey right on a platter. The two breasts side by side, and then the leg and the thigh. Just put it back on the platter just the same way you roasted it. And then people can have what they want. If you're doing the whole roast where you're presenting it, of course, carving, you'll cut the breast, start with the thick part, and carve straight down. That's the best way to get some nice, even slices. Sometimes we'll carve in the kitchen, which means then you'll take the leg and thigh off, cut that meat, especially from the thigh, into some slices, and then arrange the meat on a platter. And again, some extra stock on hand. You can always moisten it with a little bit of stock on a platter just before you serve it. Now with the gravy, which is the other real important thing we need, make a lot of gravy. So you've got your stock made. You got to strain it. And you've got your roasting pan. So you're going to do what we call deglazing. Now, there might be a little fat on there from the turkey. You want to pour that fat off, but if there's any little liquid that comes with it, I like to pour it into a glass so I can see. Sometimes there's some little brown juice there that's always good in the gravy. We can always pour the fat off, or you can save it for sautéing something. Now, if you want to make a roux, which is fat and flour, to thicken your gravy, you could use some of the turkey fat to add your flour to and make that paste that you cook for a little while and thicken your gravy with that. It's going to put a little bit more turkey flavor into it. If you don't want that, some people use what's called a slurry, which is flour and water, or even cornstarch. You'll mix it till it's about the thickness of heavy cream. You want all the lumps out of it. Advantage of a slurry is once the cornstarch slurry is once the liquid comes to a boil, you see how thick it is. It's a little bit clearer, but you don't have to cook it any longer. With a roux and a slurry, anything with flour, you have to simmer the gravy a little bit to get out that floury taste. So we'll always thicken it, make it a little bit thinner than we want, and then what we call reducing it. We simmer it slowly and let the flour get rid of the starchiness. Arrowroot's another thickener you could blend with water. And again, especially if you have if you need it gluten-free, I would use the cornstarch or the arrowroot. Make a slurry and thicken it with that. So you have your bits in the roasting pan, and we just deglaze that with either wine or broth. Scrape it. You're kind of cleaning the pan with the vegetables. Put all those into your stock pot. Now you have that at a simmer, and this is when you're going to add either your roux or you add your slurry. Use a whisk. It'll keep the lumps out. But the bottom line with this, we're going to strain it anyway. So if you get a couple of lumps, don't worry about it. Again, we're not going to sweat the small stuff here. You have your vegetables and things floating around in there. So you, once your gravy is the right thickness, then you strain it. And that's the point where if you're chopping up the gizzard or any little meat scraps from the stock, you dice those up and then you would add it to the gravy then after it's strained. And then that's, of course, when you do the final seasoning of salt and pepper. But make sure, again, you have plenty of gravy. When you're adding your thickener, do it a little bit at a time. You can always add more, or you can always reduce a little bit, but if you make it too thick, now you're forced to add something else. And if you add water, it's going to dilute the flavor. Or if you need broth, and if you don't have chicken broth around, what do? You don't want it too pasty. So always easy does it on the thickener. You're better to have it too thin than too thick.
Drive west on Sunset to the sea.
So we're going to break for a couple of messages here. Then we've got our stuffing, dressing, vegetables, and a couple of other ideas before we sign off today. Chef Bill's Table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, back at the table here, winding down another quick hour. So, yeah, I guess the bottom line, don't panic. It used to be. They say there's many ways to roast this bird. And you know, I've done the brown paper bag. I've used the roasting bag. I've done boneless. They say the plain roast, 325, you're not really going to go wrong. It's not gonna hurt. You're gonna get enough food out of it, and if that tip of the white meat's a little bit dry, well, you know what? That's gonna go in your soup or something else anyway. But you will have plenty. But as I say, just make sure if you have plenty of gravy, it covers the multitude of sins. And now the stuffing and the dressing is where we can get creative. And other courses also. I said your appetizer. I gave you the example, just the, you know, the liver mousse if you want to. If you like that sort of thing. But a nice soup. We don't serve a salad really at the restaurant on Thanksgiving. We do soup and we do chowder. We'll do a sherry mushroom. Sherry mushroom's nice because it's light. It's a broth-based soup. Good first course for if you have a heavy meal coming. The chowder is kind of traditional, and seafood, of course, if you celebrate the New England type Thanksgiving, you probably would like to have a nice you go as simple as clam, or you could do, you know, do a nice lobster and scallops, nice seafood. But that would be a nice, elegant first course. And that, would, again, a little more substantial, so you don't maybe need as much of other things later. And we also do a butternut bisque, which is seasonal. We like to get the butternut squash in there. It's funny, you start with butternut squash and you end with pumpkin, which is another squash, right? Pumpkin pie. And again, desserts, whatever you can do ahead, obviously a custard, you know, pie like pumpkin pie, you'd have to do either very early in the morning or do the day before. You want the custard to set. Fruit pies, I like to do them at night, the night before, and just loosely cover them with paper and, you know, let them just sit. They don't need to be refrigerated, the fruit pies. And that way you've got it. Never having gone in the fridge, you don't have to worry about warming the back up. Room temperature is fine. If you're doing cakes, obviously, those can be done fairly well ahead. In fact, you want your cake layers to be chilled before you're working with them anyway. So oftentimes, you know, when I think, again, the desserts, variety, I always like something with fruit. I like the pumpkin or a pumpkin cheesecake. And then something with nuts, whether pecan or walnut, something, just those... Yeah, those three items. And if you want something lighter, of course, the lemon is always nice. Stuffing, dressing. Said before, we don't put the stuffing inside. I've done that on occasion, and usually if I do that, I want to make it very moist, something maybe more along the line of a rice or even a cooked potato stuffing, something that's not going to really draw a lot of moisture out, becomes part of the dish. But it's from a safety standpoint, You have to get the stuffing right out, make sure it gets refrigerated separately, and it does take longer to cook the birds. So it's really it's kind of cool, but and there's never enough that fits inside the bird anyway. So we're always going to have some on the side. You might as well bake it on the side. So regular bread cubes, cornbread, we always like. If you don't want the wheat product, of course, rice, wild rice is always good. You see quinoa. You could, as I say, you could even do a cubed potato or vegetable thing. But if, whatever you're doing, sometimes we add things out. If you don't use the liver for anything else, I like to chop it up finely and saute that with my vegetables for the stuffing. It kind of makes the stuffing taste like it was inside the bird. Don't ask me how. It's got the little bit of bitterness. You won't know it's in there. It's ground up finely. And because stuffing is usually a little bit salty anyway, so the liver really helps with that. But some people like nuts, oysters, if you want to do the seafood thing. Of course, sausage. Some people like Italian. Some people like breakfast sausage. Breakfast sausage is probably a little more similar with flavors. That little bit of sage that's usually in there and ginger. If you like the Cajun, the andouille is always nice in there. That's what we do with the turducken. But the stuffing can be made, baked separately. The nice part about baking it separately is you can have the top of it nice and crispy. Everybody likes the moist part, but also, just like the cheese around the lasagna, you know, we like that the crispy bits there. So nice thing about a pan of stuffing is that you get the best of both. And you can make as much as you want. That always is good for the next day. Now, vegetables. What do we do? We like lots of vegetables, and everybody has their favorites. We're going to do roasted vegetables this year at the restaurant. We used to do peas and pearl onions, and peas are kid-friendly. If you have a lot of kids, probably want to have a little bowl of peas there, or peas and carrots, something like that. But the roasted roots, you know, the parsnips, very good. Turnips, either kind, rutabagas or the white turnips. Carrots, obviously. You could do diced squash, Brussels sprouts, or even broccoli and cauliflower roast up nicely. We like the Brussels sprouts. If you're doing broccoli and cauliflower, you can make a nice centerpiece out of that, a dome. If you have a nice little glass, a Pyrex dish. Your broccoli, you'll separate into florets and blanch those. Blanching meaning steam or boil them for a couple of minutes just till they're still crisp tender. And you cool them off in some cold water. The cauliflower, you can actually cook the whole head. You trim up any brown spots. You can cook it whole. You can steam it whole and then just cut off the florets. They're all nice and done. Or you could separate the florets. Sometimes when you're taking the cauliflower florets off, you get too much waste. A lot of it falls apart. So cooking it whole is one way to do it. So you have your broccoli and you have your cauliflower florets blanched. You take some butter, soft butter, and butter the inside of a dome-shaped, either a glass bowl is probably the best way. And you start packing the florets in there. Alternate layers, if you want, around the outside. You can make a pattern, but you're pressing the outside of the florets against the butter and pack it all in there. You might even, when you're going to heat this back up, either in the microwave or in the oven, and if you have the oven-safe dish, it's a good way to just, you know, you have your vegetable all set up, you're just heating it up, and you can unmold it, and it's all kind of stuck together. It's already buttered. You just need to, you know, maybe season a little salt and pepper, and you've got a nice presentation with broccoli and cauliflower. And I could see having that as on a platter with some nice tricolor carrots roasted around it, or baby carrots, something like that. Be a nice, colorful vegetable presentation. Now, if you're sold on the green bean casserole, which, you know, sells those fried onions for an exorbitant price, I guess, per pound, if you figure it out, you can make them better. And you could still use frozen green beans if you like. If you do, I like the whole ones, the haricot vert, the thin ones, usually are a little bit better. If you can find good fresh ones, fine. But this time of year in the Northeast, if they're a little immature, you're better off with a good frozen one. At least it was picked ripe. But do fresh mushrooms. You know, you saute some mushrooms, a little bit of shallot. You can use a little Madeira or white wine. Use some heavy cream, let that cook down. Instead of using a thick mushroom soup, you've got a nice mushroom sauce. Just control that salt and pepper. Now for your onion, you can make onion strings, which are nice if you want to soak some thin slices of onion in buttermilk for a while and then dredge them in seasoned flour. And heat a little pot of oil and deep fry them. You could do them ahead, drain them and dry, and actually you could dry them out in the oven a little bit too. But another way to do that is with shallots, which now, you know, usually get fairly big. You want about 3 large shallots sliced thinly. You can slice them crossways if you like, or cut them in half and do them like you're cutting strings. You need a cup of vegetable oil. And what you do is add the shallots to the oil and heat it slowly. You're not really deep frying these. You're kind of confit these, I guess it would be the proper term. You're going to cook slowly for about 15 minutes or until they're light brown. If they get a little bit too dark fast, then just cut down the heat a little bit just so the onions cook. But you want them cooked thoroughly through and brown. Now you're going to drain them well and then get them on a towel to get the grease off them. Add a little salt. Now these will dry and crisp as they cool off. They may not seem that crispy when they come out of the oil, but they'll crisp as they cool off. This was something I saw in New York Times. Very good good technique. So now you have these crispy shallots that you can save and add. You could make them the day ahead and then sprinkle those on your green bean and mushroom sauce for your own green bean casserole that's not loaded with sodium, and you don't have to buy those convenience products. Make your own. Either do fancy mushrooms if you like, and make it your own. So, strategies again: plenty of stock, plenty of gravy, turkey. Better to undercook a little than overcook, and use your creativity with your stuffings and vegetables to put your signature on your nice celebration. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News, I'm Anthony Lucero. Belgian authorities say they've made arrests in terror raids across the country. Officials arrested 16 people in raids throughout Belgium, including the capital of Brussels. The raids come as officials extended a level 4 terror alert for Brussels through Monday. The alert indicates that serious and imminent threats of terrorism are possible. Hillary Clinton is proposing a tax break to help people caring for older relatives. The Democratic frontrunner for the party's presidential nod unveiled the plan during a town hall meeting Sunday evening in Clinton, Iowa. The plan would also allow people to offset up to $6,000 in elder care expenses. There's a new scare for Chipotle fans. An outbreak of E. coli linked to the restaurants in the Northwest has now spread to 6 states.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News, I'm Anthony Lucero. Belgian authorities say they've made arrests in terror raids across the country. Officials arrested 16 people in raids throughout Belgium, including the capital of Brussels. The raids come as officials extended a level 4 terror alert for Brussels through Monday. The alert indicates that serious and imminent threats of terrorism